And what about for the patient who's had ADT?
So that brings us to the second category of M0, which is the M0 castration resistant. And this is where the pharmaceutical companies have focused their drug development efforts, with three drugs now having a metastasis-free survival benefit in that setting. In those patients, these are men that have received hormone therapy in the past, drugs like leuprolide. They have responded and subsequently progressed, and their PSA is now rising despite castration levels of testosterone, and yet their CT scan and bone scan by conventional imaging are negative or clear. In those men, Matthew Smith and others have defined a PSA doubling time metric of less than 10 months versus greater than 10 months. And in patients that have M0 CRPC, castration-resistant prostate cancer, those that have a PSA doubling time less than 10 months have a median metastasis-free survival of about 2 years, so relatively short. And those that have a PSA doubling time more than 10 months have a median metastasis-free survival of more like 4 to 5 years. And this is why all of the placebo-controlled randomized phase 3 trials in that space have focused exclusively on the population of men with M0 CRPC and a doubling time less than 10 months in order to enrich for the bad actors, the aggressive patients who are more likely and destined to develop metastatic disease faster.
And when you look at those patients, again, with castrate-resistant disease, and you say that less than 10 months doubling time results in a 2-year time to diagnosis of clinical metastatic, what about the prognosis once those men are diagnosed with metastatic disease?
So it's a bit different and it's shorter, of course, because by the time that man develops metastatic disease, he's now metastatic castration resistant, not metastatic hormone sensitive. So those patients, I typically quote a 2 to 3 year overall survival, with the range being from 1 year to 4 years.
So before we get into how therapy affects these various situations, I'm also curious, you know, about the issue of when you have this greater than 10 months and less than 10 months, and with the greater than 10 months in the castrate-resistant situation, you said maybe a 4 to 5 year median. But I would imagine that they're men, well, let's just put it this way. I guess what I'm trying to get at is, in that situation, you are trying to decide whether to add something to ADT, as you mentioned, the three drugs that are available, whatever kind of negative or toxicity issues come from that. But I would assume there still would be a benefit to a man in that situation. Whether or not it would be enough to justify taking the additional therapy, I think is the other question. But I mean, for example, you know, when you look at a man who has a doubling time less than 10 months and you add in, you know, one of these three agents, it goes from your point of view from 2 years to about how long?
All three of the clinical trials improved the metastasis-free survival by a different proportion. But on average, just to keep it simple, it doubles the metastasis-free survival if you add enzalutamide or apalutamide or darolutamide on average.
So I guess my question is, I would imagine within the greater than 10 months, you would have some men that are be around 10 months, 12 months, whatever, and others might be much longer. But I would imagine there, with this great of a risk reduction, you still could have a palpable benefit in men who have doubling times greater than 10 months. I don't know if you kind of follow where I'm heading with this. I'm kind of coming from the perspective, again, as I mentioned at the meeting, in breast cancer, I know it's a completely different situation, but you still see patients and doctors going for therapies where the absolute benefit is very, very modest, but you know it's out on the table. They make that decision consciously. And I'm wondering if that exists in prostate cancer.
So Neil, the issue is this, and this might be a controversial statement, but I'm one of those people that doesn't necessarily believe that we are benefiting men by treating them before metastases. There's no question that all three of these drugs, apalutamide, enzalutamide, and now darolutamide, will unequivocally delay the onset of metastatic disease. What we don't yet know, Neil, is whether these patients will live longer. And none of the three trials so far have demonstrated an overall survival advantage. Two of the three are relatively mature and still have not shown an OS benefit. The third was just reported and the OS was still underpowered for that. So I guess the way that I would see it is, should our ultimate evidence of benefit be a delay of metastasis, or should the bar be higher? And should we also want to extend patients' lives? Because if we're delaying metastases, but they're dying roughly at the same pace or rate, then the toxicities in that setting might overcome the possible benefits. And that's why in the low-risk patients with very slow doubling times, and yes, it shouldn't be a binary factor. I think we should tease that out, and maybe we should have four categories of risk instead of just two. So right now, it's a very simplistic binary definition because the trials use that definition. But I believe, as you implied, that a man that has M0 CRPC with a doubling time of 20 months may really not need therapy, but one with a doubling time of 11 months, he may benefit as well. So that's the piece that we have to tease out.
Right. And then in terms of, you know, even just trying to figure out what kind of numbers or how to even present it to the patient, it was funny during the meeting, I don't remember if I mentioned it or not. It may sound weird, but I was flashing on all the controversy about rituximab maintenance monotherapy in follicular lymphoma, believe it or not, where it came out and there was this dramatic benefit in progression-free survival. Of course, FL is a completely different disease, but there was a big debate about whether it was worth giving 2 years of rituximab just to extend the time that somebody would not have disease progression. And there were a lot of docs, community docs, for example, using that strategy with the idea that it's just such a devastating, you know, personal human experience to kind of see metastatic disease. But on the other hand, I guess we have the obligation at a number of levels, including financial, in terms of when we use therapy. But, you know, and even the FDA, I guess, for these trials, I think established a new endpoint of metastatic disease. And I guess that's controversial in and of itself. But I guess, you know, seeing so many patients, do you think there is a, you know, sort of psychological benefit to delaying metastatic disease?
For many patients, there is. And that was one of the arguments that the FDA gave, that preventing metastasis in and of itself, even if it's not a surrogate for improving survival, in and of itself, that is a clinical benefit, at least in the eyes of many patients, and even, it seems, in the eyes of the FDA right now. And that was a sea change, because up until that moment, Neil, every drug that had been approved for advanced prostate cancer had always been approved on an OS benefit. And these three examples here, and the third has not yet been approved, darolutamide, but with enzalutamide and apalutamide, for the first time in the history of prostate cancer drug development, drugs were approved not on an OS benefit, but on a metastasis-free survival. So I think things are changing both in the minds of the FDA and for our patients. And I think it's a long discussion with each and every patient. For some men, their ultimate goal is to maintain the quality of life and to prolong their life if possible. So for that type of patient, he may not go for it. But for other patients, the be-all and the end-all is preventing that first metastasis, which is so psychologically devastating to him that he wants to do everything in his power to prevent that day from coming.